Interesting. Okay, everybody. Welcome to the Global Black Caucus Power to the People podcast. After some terrible, fitful starts, we are here. And my name is Angela Fobbs, and I'm the chair of the Global Black Caucus. And I'm here today with...
Hey, I'm Adrian with Democrats Abroad. I'm in Sweden. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, so we are up. We are live. We are live on YouTube, and we'll be live on YouTube for the next 16 days until the election.
T-minus 16 countdown.
T-minus 16. Awesome. I'm so happy that we could get on here today. So what's going on today, Adrian? What are we talking about today? This is...
Well, off the heels of the Women's March on Saturday, where they had a goal of texting 5 million people about voting, and where they were across the country, DC, Brooklyn, San Francisco, Nashville. It was this Women's March that started in 2017 has just gained momentum. It's been around the world. If I look at the headlines today, it reminds me of something that I heard on our most recent Democratic National Committee call. Biden's lead fuels an uncomfortable sense of deja vu. Democratic voters, party officials, and campaign aides are caught between optimism and dread. The residue of seeing Hillary Clinton's expectations of victory dash. So I want to say, don't get on, and quoting Tom Perez, don't get on that polar coaster. Polls go up and down. We're up. Polls, we know, don't tell the whole story. So what do we have to do, Angela? We have to vote.
You have to vote, 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 vote. If you are an overseas voter, there is still time to get an absentee ballot. And in some states, there's still time to register to vote. Go to votefromabroad.org and you can just listen to this in the background and then just go to votefromabroad.org and request your absentee ballot. Ask for it to come by mail,
email,
because otherwise it won't get here on time because Louis DeJoy, one of Trump's henchmen, we went over this in a previous episode.
has a definition of henchmen. Yeah,
that's right. It's been trying to destroy the post office, so things aren't running so well. If you are in the United States and you happen to see this or hear it, then go to iwillvote.com, verify your registration, register to vote. It's still possible in some states.
If you need that language in Spanish, if Spanish is your mother tongue, vota voye in the US and vote from abroad /ES for Spanish, because we know we have a lot of dual citizens. Be sure, as Angela said, to get that ballot sent to you by email. Check your spam folder. Check your spam folder, because I have had some people say, I haven't gotten my ballot. I have my cup too. Literally, we have a matching set.
We're twins.
You're like, I should have had my ballot, 5 days ago. I'm like, check spam. And they're like, oh my gosh, it was in the spam folder. So yeah, just... you have to be vigilant. You have to have a plan. I like to say it's 6 stages of voting from abroad. First is register to vote or make sure you haven't been kicked off the voting rolls by verifying your registration. Then request your ballot. When you get the ballot, fill it out, return the ballot, check to see that it was received. And then if you can, check to see if it was accepted, because your ballot being received and accepted is not necessarily the same thing. So if your ballot has been received for weeks now, because ballots started coming out when, September 19th?
Actually, they started coming out before that in some states. The county that my husband votes in Pennsylvania, they sent it actually about 2 weeks before that.
Wow.
And I got mine on the 18th. I vote in Florida. Our families all voted. We are all voted, and our ballots have been returned and they have been accepted. So,
and one of the best, the next best thing to voting, I think, is helping somebody else vote, right? So that's why Angela and I are taking our time here, because we want to encourage you to vote, but we also want to encourage you to encourage others. Your sphere of influence is bigger than you may think. You don't have to be Beyonce with 50 million YouTube or Instagram followers. You know, we know that if you ask and encourage your friends and family to vote, that they're more likely to vote. So make your voting plan and share it with them and ask them, do they need help with a voting plan? Yes. Vote early, vote safely, drop it off, vote by mail.
That's right. Early voting has already started in, I think, most states already.
Yeah. So don't get on the roller coaster. If you think we have a lead, vote. Your vote matters.
The reason the polls are based on likely voters, but if you don't turn that likely into an actual vote, then it's the poll is ridiculous. And that's what happened with Hillary Clinton, is that likely voters said, yeah, I would vote for her. But then when it came down to it, they didn't actually do something, or they did, which is kind of, they did something which I think is even sadder. They just left the presidential slot blank. So please vote for Joe Biden. He is the best candidate on the ballot, and he's a good man, and he's going to make a wonderful president, and Kamala Harris is going to make an excellent vice president.
And you know what, Angela Taylor, on that? Yeah. Another headline from the Washington Post, and I quote, "My people fought for the right to vote. With a surge of emotion, Black Americans rushed to the polls. Can we please rush to the polls like we did in 2008? In 2012, we know we didn't in 2016 for a myriad of factors. This isn't about shaming and blaming. We know that voter suppression is real. It was the first major election where we didn't have many voter protection laws as we had had in the previous 50 years. We know that the misinformation campaign was real. Foreign influence was real. A lot of people listened to the polls and thought, oh, I don't have to vote. She's ahead. A lot of people think I don't like her. A lot of people thought my vote doesn't matter. Well, we know that your vote matters.
Your vote matters. My vote matters. Everyone's vote matters. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't constantly be trying to take it away from us and make it more difficult. Votefromabroad.org. If you're overseas, iwillvote.com. If you're in the United States, please vote. It's imperative.
It's like a no-brainer to us because Angela and I have always voted, as part of our civic duty, it's a right, we're standing on the shoulders of all who came before us, but we also understand how people can feel disenfranchised and why they may not believe in the power of their vote. But we're here to let you know that your vote has so much power. It is your superpower. It is your inalienable right as an American citizen to vote. And we saw in 2016, in the areas where Black people didn't vote, that's where we lost. I'm happy to know that 16 days before the election, Black voters across the country are casting their ballots at the very first opportunity, calling 2020 the most important election of their lifetime. Angela, why do you think this is such an important election?
For me, it's an important election because we are at a precipice of whether a country who once fought against tyranny becomes that country of tyranny. And also, I feel like, and this is, I don't have a lot of documentary evidence, but a lot of people think that Trump is trying to take us back to the 1950s. But
Jim Crow.
Yeah, but I think he's trying to take us back to the 1850s.
Now, how scary is that?
And just for people who maybe aren't so like up on history, that is before the Civil War.
Well, it's important to me for same reasons as you mentioned, but also because of the direct attacks that we have seen happen to the American population as far as our Latino population. You know, they've been vilified as criminals. Mm-hmm. We look at the poor kids that are in cages that have been separated from their families. We look at the constant legal attacks on American Care Act, affectionately known as Obamacare to us. We know that the failed response to COVID. We see that, I'm terrified of what's going to happen with the new court. Is Roe v. Wade going to be overturned? You know, if things go as they look with the new
that's justice nominee. I listened to an episode of Michael Moore's podcast this morning, Rumble, and he was telling a story about this is before Roe v. Wade was enacted, about a friend of his that had an illegal abortion and almost died.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. Like, it's terrifying.
What? I'm so glad you said that, because in 2016, you know, doing what I'm doing now, U.S. overseas voter advocate, reaching out to my expat community. And there's this one guy I know, a brilliant lawyer, who New York state voter, lives in Dominican Republic, and I could not get him to vote in 2016. He just couldn't get his head around that campaign and just didn't think it mattered. This year, he's like, Adrian, I already voted. I've seen him posting, and he has a story similar to what you just said. One of his father's best friend's wives had a backstreet abortion and died. That's, I mean, that happens. That's.
Yes, it has happened too many a lot.
As I was gonna say, it's too many of our women that die in childbirth as it is now because of the disparities in healthcare. So to have to rely on an illegal abortion is just dangerous. And if you are a person who believes in the right to life, believe in a woman's right to govern her life. And I think that that's at stake. Also, you know, the soul of America sounds corny, but
it is
true. What side of, you know, what kind of country do we want to be? Do we want to be a country that vilifies people, whether it's Asian Americans, because you would think it's the Kung flu, you know, or, you know, people that want to say all lives matter, which is a spit in the face to the Black Lives Matter movement. Because if all lives matter, then clearly we wouldn't have to have a Black Lives Matter movement.
That's right. And all lives matter is just some BS. So don't say it. It's not worth it. We can't.
So those are.
Yeah, we have to vote. It's essential for any rights that we have. And it's also essential if we want to see the wrongdoers punished, because as long as Trump is president, we won't be able to punish him, and he will just commit more and more crimes. I never thought, you know, at the beginning of the Trump administration, I never thought of myself as like a law and order person, you know. Not that. I don't like that TV show.
I love that show.
Because it's too preachy. Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, you just can't live a life where you commit crime after crime, like major crime, not just like, oh, he shoplifted a bag of potato chips. Like, okay, that's bad, but you know, it's not the end of the world. Oh, he's colluding with Russia. Oh, he owes he owes millions of dollars to some unknown sources. His charity was a scam. His college was a scam. Like, there's no, he just runs a bunch of scams.
And, you know, let me give you some other reasons to vote. And as we know that it's not just, we're going to talk about some senatorial races, because we know it's not just the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that's going to be on the ballot. It's going to be up ballot in your state. But, you know, we've seen devastating wildfires out west. You know, we've seen what's happening with our climate. You know, the hurricanes are more frequent, and what did you say? We ran out of names?
Yeah, we ran out of the our alphabet, our normal alphabet, and they had to go to the Greek alphabet because there were so many hurricanes. And the other day, the vice president said, well, there aren't any more hurricanes than normal. Okay, well, he's lying. There's tons more, and they're more devastating and more frequent. And hurricane season, FYI people, hurricane season does not end until November 30th. So we're still going strong. There's still storms in the Gulf. If you look at the National Hurricane Center, their Facebook page or website, you can see there's still hurricanes there. It's absolutely insane. But that is, so that is another reason why it's the soul of our country. Like, are we a nation of lies where we can't even tell the truth about basic information, like things that you can see in front of your face, you know, like a hurricane is coming.
Yeah.
So why would you pretend that it's not? Or like in the case of Trump the other time, he decided that he was going to put a hurricane going towards Alabama, like by pinning it in with a Sharpie. Really? We don't need this anymore.
You know, let's talk about some of the Senate races that are on the ballot for 2020. We know that Democrats need to flip the Senate.
That's right.
We need to hang on to the House of Representatives, but we need to flip the Senate because we have seen that the Senate doesn't work with the House of Representatives. That's why so many
Musco Mitch doesn't work with the Congress, with the Democratic Congress, because Musco Mitch is up for election. So please don't vote for him. Please, that's a reason to vote. You know, to get this, get Yertle the Turtle out of office. I am just tired of, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is on the border of Kentucky. So we kind of share a media market with parts of Kentucky. And Mitch McConnell has been a part of my life for way too long. And I want it to end. I mean, he's another one that's involved with Russians also.
Well, you know, we're never going to really find out until we get a new administration. And even then, but what we do know is that these races in the Senate are key because we need a Democratic majority. And if I look at our short list, let me give a disclaimer. This is not necessarily every Democratic candidate that's on the ballot, but these are the ones that we thought were important because they would be historic. And they're also people from the African-American community. And we know representation matters.
Yes.
There have only been two Black senators.
Since Reconstruction.
Women senators. The first one was from Illinois. Then we had Kamala. You know, we've got Cory Booker. As far as Democrat, I think there's some brother from the Republican Party.
Yeah, he's from South Carolina, I think.
I'm not going to say anything about him because I haven't seen how he voted. No. But we're going to focus on
he
these
votes
ones.
Like they do. So he, okay, there's then. No need to like talk about him. If you are a Republican, a Black Republican, that's a very interesting position to take. And I understand why people might choose to be a Republican. But as far as I'm concerned, in these times, you know, my grandfather was a Republican.
But in these times, there's a lot of people. We've seen prominent Republicans come out and say that they're voting for Biden. You know, whatever your political ideology is, when it comes to your vote, vote what's right. So you don't have to stick with your party when it comes to voting. We've seen Colin Powell say that, you know, supporting Biden. And he worked in the Republican administration. But if we look at Mississippi, yes, historically racist, oppressive Mississippi, Mike Epsi.
He's an awesome man, and he's in a race with a actual racist. I don't know if people remember.
Not a fake racist.
No. I mean, she's a straight out racist. She mentioned something. I don't remember. It was last year that she mentioned something about going to a lynching or something. And I'm just like, what? Like, what year are you in? But in Mississippi, I think they're about three decades behind the rest of us. So,
well,
you know,
this is Mike's second bid. SB, he went to Howard University. I'm just going to call that out because so did Thurgood Marshall, so did Kamala Harris, so did Toni Morrison, so did many other bright minds. He is Native Mississippian. I don't know what generation. But wouldn't that be amazing to have him on the Senate?
It would be. It would be great. He used to be the Commerce Secretary, I think, for the Clinton administration.
He's got tons of experience.
Yes. Yes. He's a great guy. And you can check out, if you check out our Facebook page or our Instagram, there's some information about the about Mike Espy there. I think he's an awesome candidate, and let's vote for him if you're in Mississippi, and let's win. We know we need change, and the only way that we're going to get change is at this moment is to vote. So,
well, voting please. Is our power. Voting, if, as we say, voter suppression wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't. We wouldn't be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote in the U.S. if they didn't have to fight for their rights to vote. And we know Black women were in the forefront of the suffragette movement. We know that when women vote, women win. Whether it's candidates that care for our issues, whether it's, you know, controlling our own bodies, whether it's fair wages, you know, women still are, I don't want to say second class citizens, but we don't get paid the same thing as men.
No, really. I think you got that right. I mean, the fact that up until Obamacare, that women's health care cost more than men's, just because we have babies and uteruses, you know, it's, there's a lot of things that we're, that women, it cost more. Or, I mean, imagine, okay, going to the hairdresser, if you just want a haircut, you know, a man can just go in with $20 and get a haircut. And a woman, it's like, well, that'll be $150, you know, to get a
maybe
haircut.
That's why somebody wrote off all their hair expense. I mean, well, you know, I don't even know what happened.
Well, he didn't pay enough.
He didn't pay enough.
No, but, he did not spend enough money on his hair.
Mississippi people, you have a chance to vote in not only a great guy, but to actually start to see some real change in Mississippi. One of our favorite friends of Democrats Abroad is up for re-election in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey, Cory Booker. Woo! Shout out to Cory Booker. Doesn't he date Rosario Dawson or something like that?
You know, I'm not sure because he can. I've seen pictures with him, women on his arm. You know, I remember when I first discovered Cory Booker, it was an issue of O Magazine, and they were Gail, I don't know if Gail wrote it, or they're like, we're in love with this guy, talking about all the great stuff he was doing in New Jersey. And that was years ago, before he was a senator. Oh, when he was the mayor of Newark. So they were talking about all the things that he was doing for the city. Then I can't believe he's up for a second term. So for a second term. Now, some people might be like, well, why should we reelect people? You know, we should have new people coming in. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think that this is only he's only had one term. So he's still, as far as the Senate goes, he's relatively new. I don't know, during the impeachment, every time somebody would speak in the Senate, I would just Google their age. And he's a newborn baby compared to everyone else in the Senate. Yeah. A lot of the other people in the Senate, they're a lot. So yeah, we do need fresh blood, but not in his case. I mean, he's a young man and this would be his second term. So, and you need to get experience in these kind of venues in order to, you know, in order to work properly. So he's at the point now where he's got it on lock. He knows what to do. He knows who's who, how to get things done. And in a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House with a Democratic president, we could definitely make some positive change.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I was going to say it's experience. We're not talking about 10 term, 15 term, you know, people that come in their 30s or 40s and then they're 80 and they're still in there.
There's lots of people like that in the Senate now.
And you know what? And even, you know, John Lewis was a multi-term person in the House of Representatives, and his constituents knew what he was doing, which is why they continuously voted him back in.
That's right.
And as you say, if you're not doing your job, you can be voted out. There is a referendum every 6 years for the Senate, 4 years.
2 years. 2 years. For the House.
Well, it's alternate, but yeah.
No, in the Senate, it's every 6 years, but it's on a schedule of three different, so A, B, and C groups. So not everybody is up for re-election in the Senate at the same time.
No.
And no. This year it happens to be Cory Booker, but he is just Google him on YouTube. You can find him He's a vegan. He really cares about people.
When he's great mayor, skin. Is that why his skin is so good? Because he's a vegan.
I guess so. You know, people always say that. I'm a vegetarian and I'm not a vegan because it's too difficult. That's right. I just where I live, like there, I live in the country. I don't have the availability of all these products and stuff like this that a lot of vegans use. So
vegan is a thing in Sweden now. I don't think anywhere you live, you're like vegan, vegetarian. But Cory, you can look up Cory's record.
Yes.
See what kind of senator he is.
He's a good senator.
Tell your friends in New Jersey. Yeah. And we've got, oh my gosh, in Louisiana, my grandmother was from Shreveport. And this guy has my name and he's so young. He was the mayor of Shreveport.
Oh, what is his name?
Adrian Perkins.
Yeah, but it's spelled differently.
It's spelled like the man's version. Yeah. And he's, I want to say he's under 35. I want to say he's under 30 because, we look good. You can't tell how old we are. But he is young. He has experience from being a mayor. He is running in Louisiana.
That's right. And you know what? If he became a senator, which he would be the first Black senator to represent Louisiana since 1887. Come on now. That's more than 130 years.
Well, this is 2020. So it can happen.
That's right.
If people vote for him, it will happen. With youth comes enthusiasm, new ideas. He's a military veteran, I should say. Served his country, wants to serve his state on a higher level. He served his city. Adrian Perkins, do your research, look him up. But you know what? I skipped over another good friend of Democrats Abroad who's running a tough, tough race in South Carolina.
Oh, yes. Jamie Harrison. Oh, we talked to him a few weeks ago. And you can look, if you look on YouTube and also or on Facebook, I think it's definitely on Facebook. I'm not sure if it's on YouTube. We talked to him and it was awesome. He's a great guy. He had this really great story that he told about how just about when he was, his family and
I know he's single. He was raised by a single mom. I know he went to law school, but when he was
he was a congressional aide and the cleaning person was a friend of his mother's and she recognized him and
Well, it was a picture that he had of himself and his mother in his office. And the cleaning person came in and said, is that your mother? And he said, yes. And he said, is that, and she mentioned his name, her name. And she said, I know her. I went to high school with her or something. She was like, and you're her little boy. And she was like, we were just so proud of you. It was a very humbling moment for him. But he's a fighter. He's a young guy. He's got a young family. He said he really believes in South Carolina. He ran to be chair of the Democratic Party, and we got to interview him and talk to him, and that's when I first was introduced to him. And he believes that politics should be about helping the people.
Yes.
Truly helping the people.
That's what it should be about. Republicans have twisted our form of government into something that only serves certain interests, business interests, wealthy interest, but it doesn't serve us, the normal people. And that's what we need to get back to. That's where we need to go to, back to helping the people. So yes, definitely 100% Louisiana voters, please vote for Adrian Perkins for Senate.
And Jamie Harrison. In South Carolina.
And Cory Booker and Mike Espy.
In Mississippi.
In Mississippi, really.
What was that song by Nina Simone, Mississippi God? Damn, I can't say that. But, yeah. You know, Mississippi, it's serious down there.
Yeah,
South Carolina, serious. Too.
Yeah, South Carolina. Lindsey Graham, the Republican, he made a statement the other day about Black men are free to go wherever they want as long as they're conservative. And so, you know, here's the thing.
That's almost
I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm free to do what I want. I don't have to adhere to what Lindsey Graham and other conservative white people want. Sorry. Like, we can, you know, it's what they're saying is basically they're putting us, you know, putting us down. Like, you
well, have it sounds to, like some underlying, like, what's in between the lines? You can go wherever you want as long as conservative. You know, it sounds, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say like a threat, but I don't know.
It does. It is a threat. It's racist. I mean, it's completely racist that you're a grown man and you can't do what you want unless you are doing what they want. And that's
kinda
just,
like, you know, we have to stay in our place. They still want to keep us in our place.
Or get off the sidewalk when a white person is walking, or don't look them in the eye. I mean, really, that's no more of this. We can't do it anymore.
Angela, you remind me of something, and I read it somewhere, where it's like, well, why do some people have a problem with Black Lives Matter or the Black Lives Matter movement? And those are the same people who grew up in states where it used to be white folks only. Mm-hmm. Water fountain or seating or place on the bus. So that's why Black Lives Matter. I just have to get that, because that still just burns me when people are like, you know, well, of course, Black, you know, all lives matter. It's like, no,
yeah, well,
they don't. Yeah. But and that's, it's talking about a place that's, you know, gosh, we saw the effects of voter suppression in Georgia. I mean,
yes,
look what they did to Stacey Abrams.
That's right. And yeah, let's talk a little bit about this Georgia race, because
wild.
Yeah, it is, because there's two Senate seats up for election this year. One is John Ossoff. So go ahead, y'all, vote for John Ossoff against whoever the old white guy is that's on.
I don't have it in front of me.
I don't know what his name is. But I do know some characteristics about him. So I'm just saying, the elderly white man. How about that? Is that better?
The distinguished gentleman from Georgia.
From Georgia, yes. Oh my God, yes, exactly. But then there's a second race. So that's the normal race. So then there's a second race in Georgia that is, for all I can tell, it's just like a free-for-all. And
why is that? What's the background?
Well, let me just see if I can. I had an article about it. I hope I didn't close it.
Well, Angela's looking for that article because
No, I did. I did close it because I was having some issues with my computer.
Yeah.
But I can just give a short recap of it. Basically, this is some kind of, they didn't have a primary for this race. It's a special election for Senate, and there are 20 candidates on the ballot for this Senate position. One of them.
Now, wait a minute, is a special election, was somebody appointed, like the person
yes,
in 2017?
Kelly Loeffler, who during the pandemic sold off all her stocks after she had a briefing it was either from the CDC or from one of our intelligence agencies about the upcoming pandemic. She sold off all her stocks. Nothing ever was really done, but this woman is a criminal because that's illegal. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to use information that you get in a confidential briefing to enrich yourself. But anyway, So she's up, it's a special election. She was appointed to this seat. And Georgia is doing something that I consider it's a way to make sure a Republican gets on this ticket. And it's also a way to depress voting. I think there's 20 people running. They didn't have a primary. So there's no like top two candidates. There are what, 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats, and then the rest are no party or Libertarian or Green Party candidates.
We know 8 Democrats. Yeah, we could do the math, but and what is, I don't know, what do you think is the most unfortunate thing about that? without a primary, you know, primaries are an important part of the process because we'll look at our primary, you know, we had, I don't know, 20 something candidates. You get, it lets you have the conversation about the issues that are important.
That's right. You have to be able to, talk about, I found it. The article about who's running. Okay, who's who?
What's your source for the article?
It is News for Jax. I don't know. I guess that's in Florida, maybe. I don't know. Or if there's a Jacksonville, Georgia, I don't know. But there are 20 candidates. And then so in this special election, and if you have to get 50% of the vote in order to win, if no one gets 50%, then there's going to be a runoff on January 5th. And this just seems,
well, don't you need 51%? Because if you get 50%, well, no, okay, 50%, okay.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, you have 20 candidates. If you got 50%, yeah, you're the winner. Like, so there are, yes, there are five Republicans who signed up to challenge Kelly Loeffler, as did six Democrats and eight candidates from smaller or no party at all. So
out of those eight Democrats, we saw that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2, 4, 6, 7 of them are African American.
Yes.
Which I think is wonderful because they're putting themselves up there. You know, we aren't in a position to thoroughly research all of them, but out of those seven, six are women. I'm gonna say their names, Raphael is a man. Sorry. Because I used to have a crush on this guy named Raphael anyway, in college. Yeah. So five are women, two are men, African American, out of the eight that are running: Raphael Warnock, Demesia James, Deborah A. Jackson, Tamara Johnson Shealy, Valencia Stovall, Joy Felicia Slade, and Ed Tarver. So you're not going to just go in there and be able to vote blue because it's going to be eight, with D behind their names. You're going to have to do some research on this, Georgia voters,
yes,
and see who these people are, see which one deserves your vote. They haven't had the benefit of going through a primary process where you could get to know them. And, you know, it takes a lot of money to run for Senate.
It's just a free for all. I mean, I think this is really a part of Georgia trying to keep a Republican in this seat. I'm sure that they didn't have to handle this way, but they've chosen to just have, I mean, really, just a free for all on the ballot. They could have had a primary. There's nothing that would have stopped them from having a primary.
I don't know what the reason is, but you know what? Let's end with some positive, exciting, good news. Georgia's confusing, but here's some stuff that's not confusing, that's very exciting.
Yeah, well, this is very exciting. More than 27 million ballots have already been cast and opened.
Wow.
It's kind of amazing that with the election still 16 days away, that so many people have already voted, but everybody keep up the good work. Send your ballots back. If you voted, get them in the mail or by FedEx or UPS or whatever and get them. Or if you live in the States, drop it off. But that is really amazing that so many people.
If you're in a state that requires you to return your ballot by mail and you haven't received that ballot, maybe you forgot to ask for it by email and you haven't received that ballot, you can go back and ask for them to send it to you by email. Call them or email them and say, you know, I haven't gotten my ballot in the post. Can you email it to me? In the meantime, you can use the federal emergency write-in absentee ballot. You can get help with that from Vote From Abroad. Angela, don't we still have live voting help right now?
That's right. We still have live voting help. So Sunday it was all day. We'll have live voting help on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday again. So if you need help, just go there. All of the information about how to get the live help is in the show notes for the pod.
Some country committees where it is safe to meet in person. I'm not sure with the latest news coming off of the weekend where that still may be. We're trying to have in-person voting events, but you know what? That doesn't matter because we've got, as Angela said, the online Zoom where you would be put into a, you could get this, it won't be like a webinar. Yeah, you'll have one-on-one help.
That's right. So they, you go in and then there's like a group of people waiting and then they put you in a breakout room so that you can have individual service and then, you know, it's private. It's just between you and them. So it's not like you're in a big conference or something and asking, I've got some problems and I want to tell you, but no, like, no, you get to do it personally. So don't worry. It's all good. Just come to the live help. Request your absentee ballot at votefromabroad.org. Ask for it to come by email. And
if you need help in a different language than English, let them know that as well, because we've got we're in three regions. We're in the Americas, we're in Asia Pacific, and we're in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So we've got people that speak dozens of languages. The request came in through Sweden that somebody wanted help in Swedish. No problem. We'll get you the help. If you prefer to, if those times don't work for you, you can email Get Out the Vote, GOTV at democratsabroad.org. You can go on Vote From Abroad.
You can go on Vote From Abroad. There's a little help bubble. If you go onto that help bubble, a red help bubble, they can help you there. You can email GOTV. You can email, isn't it voterhelp@democratsabroad.org?
We've got so many different emails. I always remember GOTV, which is an abbreviation for Get Out the Vote.
Yeah, GOTV.
If that's not the right one, they'll send you to the right one.
That's right. So there's tons of ways to help at this point. You just have to reach out and somebody will help, you know. Even if you just see one of our Facebook posts and you write that you need help, somebody will pick that up and be like, oh, I mean, that's not your first. Don't do that first. Try the other helplines. But if all else fails, just come to one of our Facebook pages you can send a message to the page.
Speaking of that, look for the Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus Facebook page. You can get a lot of information about live events that are coming up that you can join. You can see videos of past events. You can do the same thing with Democrats Abroad on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Yep. We're on YouTube. We try to be where you are because we want to reach you. We want to help you. In my closing, I'm going to ask that you encourage 5 other people to vote, that you let yourself be the example, that you be the influencer in your sphere and say, I voted. Have you voted? Remember what it's like to vote. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to vote in the States, or when you vote in person and you get that cool I voted sticker, you can get those badges now to put on your social media. But you want to make sure that this is not an election that you sent out. You know, I don't even want to give you a pass for 2016 if you're one of those people that didn't vote in 2016. There are no passes in 2020, y'all.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I have encountered a few people who said that they weren't going to vote. And my response to them is, well, I hope we win so that you can keep your moral stance and not be locked up somewhere.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad. I mean, I understand people are depressed. People feel helpless. They feel hopeless. But voting is very empowering. Helping someone else to vote is very empowering. So take your power back.
Yes, take your power back. So, wow, you are totally green. Even your glass. I swear, you're so like adorable sometimes.
Oh.
But she's the good cop and I'm the bad one. So that's, you know, Adrian is probably the sweetest, nicest person that I know.
And Angela is one of my sheroes. She can do anything. She and I have seen her do absolutely everything. Amazing stuff. Thank you so much for having me here. We're going to be here. Can you stand 2 more weeks of me?
I can. I can stand. You know what? I just want this election to be over, but I also want everybody to vote. So there's still plenty of time. 2 more weeks of you and me kicking it together in the mornings, live. in a video. Like, it's great.
Look at me, I'm looking halfway decent time of the morning.
It just gives me a reason to get dressed.
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't always get dressed because we're totally working on voting
at home. Like, there's no reason nobody's coming. Like, you're not dressed properly for this atmosphere. No, if I'm in my pajamas, I am dressed properly at home. But for everybody,
you see what's behind Angela's right shoulder.
Vote from abroad. Vote from abroad. Vote, vote, vote. Oh my God! And if you already have a ballot, please vote it and send it back.
And you know what? Send us a picture of you voting, or just a message that you voted on, either on this post on the on Democrats Abroad YouTube
or you can email it to blackcaucus@democratsabroad.org. And I will make sure it gets posted, because we want people to know you voted. Like,
yeah.
And it only takes a minute. Write one quick message. Yeah.
We would love to share it. We would love to share it, because we know that you have influence and we want to amplify your influence. So
that's right. That's right. So with that, thank you so much for joining me today, Adrian. And thanks to everyone who's listening. Remember to go to votefromabroad.org. If you are overseas voter, or go to iwillvote.com if you are in the United States. And everybody, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your family, and stay well.
Stay safe, so happy. Stay safe, so happy. Mask up, wash your hands, social distance. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.